trending topics with legal conclusions. Brought to you by Pepper and Odom Law Firm. You're listening to Legal Roundup.
Hey everyone, this is Attorney Everett Pepper, Pepper and Odom Law Firm here in Ridgeland, Mississippi. Today I got a guest speaker with me, a good friend of mine, Attorney Craig Painter from Madison, Mississippi. This is Craig's second podcast with us. Craig, you want to introduce yourself?
Like you said, I'm Craig Painter, practice in Madison with my firm, the Painter Law Firm, been doing this since 1985.
And what type of law do you usually do?
I do a lot of litigation lawsuits for the plaintiff, for the defendant, a lot of business-related disputes, real estate disputes. I don't do loan closings, but I do real estate disputes, such as disputes over easements, adverse possession, partition of air property, that type of thing. And from time to time, some civil rights litigation for injured parties and employment matters, and then just a general practice involving all types of contracts. So,
awesome. Well, I wanted to get you to come by today. Today's topic for a podcast, I think you might find interesting, is here in the news has been the Alec Baldwin, who's facing criminal charges. Have you been keeping up with that in the news?
I have. I think it's an interesting story. It's a tragic story, but I think it, from a legal standpoint, it's interesting to me as to the different ways somebody can be responsible for what happened and what defenses they have available to them. And of course, everybody's effort to shift the liability to somebody else. But for those who may not be completely familiar with what happened, he was a producer and an actor out in, I believe it was New Mexico, making a movie called Rust. And they were in a building on set and they were going through rehearsals. At one point, Baldwin was supposed to pull a revolver out and aim it at the camera. The lady, I think it's Hutchins, the cinematographer, was standing by the camera. So they were going through that process, talking about what needed to happen and how quickly he should pull the gun, all the kind of things I guess you would do when you're making a movie. He pulls the gun out and shoots her and kills her because there's a live round in the gun. It hits another person as well who was injured but not killed. So immediately, of course, everybody starts talking about who's to blame. Baldwin says they handed him the gun and said it was a clean gun, meaning that it didn't have any ammunition in it or it had blanks in it. Baldwin also says he didn't pull the trigger, but as I understand it, the FBI has looked at, or it might have been another federal agency anyway, looked at it and said, yeah, this gun works the way it's supposed to work. You can't fire it without pulling the trigger.
It's a revolver,
so,
right?
Yeah, so you had to pull the trigger even if you were not aware you were doing it or even if it was accidental. Like I said, he killed the woman. It turns out they had an armorer on set who was supposed to be responsible for the handling of the weapons. And for inexplicable reasons, at least inexplicable to me, she has not only blanks on the set, but live ammo on the set. And during breaks at times, this is what I've read, some people would go out and actually shoot guns on the set, target practice and all. And then as a result of which, somehow a live round gets put in this gun. It's handed to Baldwin. He's told that it's clean. I think that's his phrase. And he goes through the motions and shoots the lady. His defense, or his, I won't say a legal defense, but his position all along was, hey, they handed me the gun and told me it wasn't loaded, so it's not my fault. And I think you would agree that, at least there's an old saying I heard a long time ago, which is you own your bullet. If you fire a weapon and the bullet goes somewhere and hits somebody, that's on you. It doesn't matter that you didn't intend to, or that you were shooting at something else, or you didn't think the gun was loaded. None of those things matter in the eyes of the law. So I don't think he's got any, to me, if somebody that might be sitting on a jury, I would not entertain any defense, factual defense, based on the idea what somebody told me the gun wasn't loaded.
Well, you brought up one of the questions I had early, is which I don't have any experience in the movie industry or production or any of that, but I always thought a prop gun was a actual fake gun. I didn't know it was capable of actually, you know, a real weapon that could shoot live ammo. Being a revolver, it's obviously an actual real pistol, you know, a revolver. The second thing is I have no idea why they would have live ammo on the set to start with.
The armor, the young lady who was supposed to be taking care of this, I think she's being charged as well, involuntary manslaughter, which I don't know Mexico law. New Mexico law. But as I understand it, it's basically a negligence theory. You did not act reasonably and you caused somebody's death. It doesn't contain any intent element. But I mean, if you think about it, it's one thing to say, well, this is the way it's done on a movie set. Well, that's fine. But right now, if I handed you a gun and told you it was unloaded and then called for you to aim it at somebody and pull the trigger, How do you do that without checking? Well, how do you say, well, you told me it wasn't loaded?
I have handled weapons since I was young enough to hunt. I've hunted ever since I was a young kid. And my dad, that's the first thing. We didn't get to handle weapons until we fully understood. You check it every single time, because the fact you're saying it's unloaded, you know, that doesn't do anything. Look, check, look again, check again, and then don't point it at somebody anyway. You know, and I can't understand that in the movies. If they're videoing this, I don't know why he was pointing it directly at her anyway. If he was pointing it beside her and it accidentally or whatever was loaded, he'd have maybe shot the wall instead of her. It goes back to the old saying, don't point a gun at somebody unless you mean to kill them.
As I understand it, she was by the camera as the cinematographer wanting to see how the shot looked when he aimed the gun at what would have been the point of view of somebody he was shooting at. Want to see how that looks. I think everybody's heard the phrase, every gun is loaded, assume every gun is loaded. I've got a friend who made some short films for a little while, and he was telling me just recently about a time when he had to handle a gun and they had an armor on the set, and the armor said, now I'm going to check this gun and confirm that it is not loaded. I'm going to tell you that, and then I'm going to hand it to you. Then you're going to check and confirm that the gun is not loaded, and you're going to confirm that back to me. That's a pretty simple step. If anybody had said that and implemented that on the set of Rust, then Alec Baldwin would have opened that revolver up and said, well, it's loaded. We got a problem here. He's also got, I would think, civil responsibility, although I think he has settled with the estate, the family of the young lady that got killed, because he was a producer on the set as well. So he had a different level of responsibility than just being a mere actor on the set waiting to be given instructions. Now, I won't purport to know what the legal duty of a producer is on a movie set, whether he's considered captain of the ship, like in boating, or in doctors in an operating room where they're responsible for what goes on almost no matter what. Again, his argument that they told me it wasn't loaded to me just doesn't matter.
Well, I think the assistant director, his name was David Halls, will plead guilty to misdemeanor charges of negligent use of a deadly firearm. So I think the two sides to look at here is if he's already settled from the producer standpoint. When you say settled, that would obviously be the civil side of it.
Correct.
Where the criminal charge side of it is what's still coming and what's developing now as we're discussing this. I thought one of the interesting quotes from the article I was looking at, it said that Reed, who was the armorer, I believe, said if any one of the three people had done their job, then Hutchins would be alive. That applies to him too.
Yeah.
is he the fourth person, or I wonder who he's referring to?
Yeah. Again, you take a step back. And this is how, if I was the prosecutor, this is what I would be telling the jury. How hard is it to think, before we do this, here's the steps we take to ensure safety? The armorer, who's got the initial responsibility, doesn't have live ammo on the set, has her blanks completely under her control, has the guns at all time under her control, except when they're being handed to an actor, confirms that they're not loaded, tells the actor, now I want you to look at it, confirm it's not loaded. Now we're ready to go. It's that simple. And a lady's dead because they didn't bother to do that.
Well, the Santa Fe District Attorney, Mary, I think her name is pronounced Altwies, she told the Los Angeles Times that the standard of her to prove her case was going to be pretty simple, that somebody should have caught this and they didn't. That's where the criminality comes from, which is getting back to what you were talking about earlier, the negligent manslaughter charges. It's not unintentional. They're not charging them that they intentionally meant to kill anybody. It's just, it was a negligent standard. And I don't know New Mexico law either, but I'm sure it's pretty much standard that way across the whole United States as far as I know.
Yeah. Now, he probably won't end up, even if convicted or pleading guilty, do any real actual prison time. You know, there's a lot of different types of penalties that the court can hand out in lieu of that, because he certainly didn't intend to kill that woman.
No, I don't think that's even a question in anybody's mind.
But if you get behind the wheel of a car impaired and kill somebody, you didn't intend to do that either.
That's right.
You don't get a free pass.
That's exactly right. Same thing with like aggravated DUI. Didn't mean necessarily to kill anybody, but it was a negligent situation.
And you know, from the prosecution standpoint, they'll be able to stack up as many expert witnesses as they need in this industry, people who are true armorers and know what to do, saying that's all negligence, none of that should have happened, this is wrong, that is wrong, this is wrong. My buddy said, I think he'll be acquitted. I said, I don't agree with that. I don't think he will be. I think he'll end up pleading out to something.
So if they charge the armorer?
That's my understanding. It's a young lady. And there's also talk, but again, you know, how much you can believe that you see, I was about to say in the papers, but it's always online nowadays, that some people before the shooting had quit the set, some of the workers, because of lack of safety protocols.
Oh, wow.
They identified some things that they were concerned about. Again, you just take it step by step. Step number one, negligence, bring in live ammo to begin with. Number two, not checking the gun. There's no way the armor checked the gun and said it was unloaded if it was loaded, right?
Right.
Couldn't happen.
If it was the same gun.
Next thing, yep, Baldwin should have checked it as well.
And wasn't then there a third person in the chain of handling the gun?
It seemed like maybe the armorer handed it to somebody who turned around and handed it to somebody. But again, it's really simple. Everybody who's touching that gun has to look at it and confirm it's unloaded. That one thing would have kept that lady alive.
That's right.
And they didn't do it. Maybe they'll bring about some changes, I don't know, in the way they do these things or some standard. I'm sure there's already a standard, though, a standard what we just described, well, that they just didn't follow.
Well, Baldwin, I mean, he's a very experienced actor. You know, I didn't see anything about the armorer's experience or anything maybe there. I don't know. I mean, it's obviously not the first time he's ever handled a weapon.
Now, one of the interesting things is right now, as we speak, maybe not this exact moment, but right now, he's still finishing that film. He's going back to finishing the film.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody will be waiting to see that scene. I think it's in a church or something, I don't know, where he pulls the gun, which is, of course, I'm sure they won't use that footage.
You
know,
yeah.
Because it was rehearsal. But anyway, that's the pivotal scene. I don't know if they'll leave that in there or come up with something different.
Well, it creates a heck of a background story or a backdrop for the movie when it does come out.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to get some media attention just for that reason, if nothing else. Well, Craig, that's about all I have on this one. I appreciate you coming by today. It's always good to talk to you, and I always like to get your thoughts on whatever's going on in the world. If there's anything you got, anytime you want to come back, we would certainly love to have you back anytime you'd like to.
Well, I appreciate you letting me come over and express my strong feelings about Alec Baldwin's tragic shooting of that woman who ought to be accountable for it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you for listening to Legal Roundup, brought to you by Pepper and Odom Law Firm. If you live in Mississippi or Alabama and have been injured in a car wreck or some other accident due to someone else's negligence, call Pepper and Odom at 601-202-1111 or visit pepperandodom.com.